There's something about tonight. It's a celebration, and there's lights and flowers and songs that we may all know by heart. And yet at the same time, it happens in the dark, in the cold. It feels both impossibly familiar and also utterly fragile. We know how the story goes. We hear it year after year. The decree, the journey, no room at the inn, the manger, a birth, and angels and shepherds. In many ways, it sounds like a fairy tale. But it's not. Luke doesn't give us a soft and sentimental beginning. By the time Jesus is born, our holy family has faced exhaustion. They face disruption. Bodies are under pressure, both physical and political. A young woman has an unexpected pregnancy that lies far outside of her safety or her control. We meet a child whose arrival depends not on an ideal circumstance, but on courage, and trust, and the willingness of ordinary people to say yes, even when nothing is guaranteed. And it is a story that has wedged itself deeply in my heart. My spouse and I are not strangers, no strangers to longing for a child. We know that experience of hoping month after month and imagining a future that just keeps slipping right out of reach. We're familiar with the elation of finally conceiving, and then at the same time, we're well acquainted with the grief of learning that something is terribly wrong, that the pregnancy carries a rare genetic condition, that the life we already love cannot, did not, survive. In my experience, there's a particular ache in that kind of grief. It is quiet and relentless. It lives in your body as much as it lives in your heart, and it leaves you wondering, where is God when hope has a heartbeat and then suddenly does not? And yet our story didn't end there. We endured fertility treatments, filled with clinical statistics and science and endless prayer and more tears and exhaustion and resilience that we knew than we ever knew we could possess. And eventually we welcomed a child through IVF, and that joy is overwhelming every single day. Our appreciation is profound, but it is happiness that carries memory. It is gratitude that knows painfully well how near hope is to breaking. I tell you this story not because it's the same as Mary's, because it's not, but because of it, I now hear tonight's story differently. I think we often take for granted that the birth of Jesus was inevitable. I know I used to think that God just kind of maybe snapped some divine fingers and poof, salvation in human form was born. But Luke's actual story resists that. God's coming into the world is not automatic. Like all of life, it is precarious. It depends on bodies and on consent and on risk. What if this incarnation was not God's first attempt to bring divine love fully into human life? What if God had been longing, perhaps over centuries or even millennia, to dwell with humanity in a way that could be held and known and loved? What if God asked someone who said no because they were afraid of how it would feel? What if God heard a no from someone who didn't have time? What if God was told no because it could cost someone their life or their social standing or get them disowned or shunned, or they were afraid just of the sheer uncertainty? You see, the whole thing was dependent on someone being willing to bear the cost and to trust the promise. God was waiting achingly for someone willing to say, "Let it be to me," even when the outcome was absolutely unknown and most certainly perilous. Mary's yes is embodied courage. It is a young woman agreeing to let her body become the meeting place of heaven and earth. And Joseph's yes matters too. Luke doesn't talk a lot about him, but his presence is essential. Without Joseph's willingness to stay, to protect, and to accompany, they'd never have reached the manger. Apparently, God's dream needs a community, however small, to survive. And that's something that anyone who has struggled with birth or loss understands deeply. Hope cannot live in isolation. It needs companions. I had a fellow priest to commiserate with when the waiting just kept stretching on. And I had a therapist who kept me going when the outcome was unclear. God also needed people who could help carry that fragile thing God was trying to bring into the world. And this is how God comes into the world, just dripping with ambiguity and lack of control and intense vulnerability. The newborn Jesus in a manger does not arrive as proof that everything will turn out to be okay. But he does arrive as a promise that God is willing to enter the world, as chaotic and as messy as it is, and stay with us there. The incarnation isn't about avoiding pain. It's about God joining in it with us. Christmas is not God's way of saying, "See, it all worked out." Christmas is God saying, "I am with you in the waiting. I am with you in the loss. I am with you in the long, brave work of bringing life and sustaining life in a world that often tries to stifle it." That is the good news tonight. Sure, not everything will be fixed by the morning, but God has entrusted divine love to human hands and human hearts. First to Mary's courage, then to Joseph's steadiness, and now to us. Because the question Christmas asks is not only, "Do you believe this happened?" but will you help to carry it forward? Will you make room in your life, in your body, in your community for the fragile work of love? Will you stand with one another when hope feels risky? Will you say yes again and again, even when the outcome is uncertain? Tonight, the manger is not just in Bethlehem. It is wherever someone dares to believe that God still longs to be born into this world, and that together we might be willing to help carry that love to term. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among all.